that it may have, sometimes we have a provision where you can have a small sign on a residential property.
I thought it was up the lab yet for a month or something.
I'll take a look. If there's specific properties, maybe let me know.
I think you'd almost guess.
She'll take care of it.
Thank you.
Well, I'll pass it on to our code enforcement.
Any other public comment?
Yeah. Hi, Thomas Blair, Rock Hill Road. According to the Pennsylvania state bylaws for auditors, the auditor's report should have been submitted in April, and then it's required to be published somewhere public. Has that happened? Is there a place where I can find the auditor's report for 2022?
Not yet. The auditor, so we're behind. We had a new auditor that we appointed this year, and his schedule was put him behind. So he was here last week. He will be here again on Thursday, and we hope to have it shortly thereafter.
Okay. And will I be able to find it?
Yep.
Or some place,
yes,
I can find it?
Yes, absolutely, on our website.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
You bet.
Any other public comment? Not seeing. Let's move on to approve all the minutes for May 4th, 2023.
You're not able to.
No, I can't. Sorry. We don't have. I was just thinking, going, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move into old business. Certification of deposits, reinvestment opportunities.
Okay.
Tracy.
Yeah. So this is a revisit from last month. Last month you had voted for us to reinvest $148,000 of our water funds with First Internet Bank for a rate of 5.39%. Unfortunately, by the time we got back to them, the rate had changed. So what we'd like to propose is Great Eastern, who finds good rates for us. They gave me a list of six banks that have similar rates. It's just they're different banks. They're all FDIC insured. So I'd like to recommend that you make a motion that we reinvest that money for 1 year in a CD at the best rate available on that day, basically.
That makes sense.
Okay.
I don't have a problem with that.
So, and these were from what?
So we use a company called Great Eastern to help us.
The updated rate was in the last couple days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he said that by tomorrow they may have changed.
Yeah.
So they're just, everything is just changing. Yeah, so fast. But we're still in that 5.39% range as of today. So we're hoping it'll at least be close to that.
Okay. Any comment from the public? Okay. Not seen. I'll make a motion to authorize the manager to reinvest the $148,000 from the water fund CDs that matured on April 27, 2023 into a one-year CD with qualified bank at the best interest rate available. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion's approved. All right, Perkiomen Crossing Water System Upgrade Update.
So I just wanted to give you an update since last month. On May 4th, we had the presentation from the consultant who prepared the hydrant study. And at that time, we had talked about looking into four areas. Meeting with the Homeowners Association about the possibility of getting additional land. Looking at some of the financial aspects of taking on this new debt, potentially, possible grants that are out there, and then design. So just as an update, I did meet with the HOA. They are definitely willing to talk about giving more land for the water and sewer plant, as long as it doesn't cost the HOA. So basically, you know, if we're going to do a lot line adjustment or something like that, it would have to be incorporated into this project and not be taken on by the HOA. They suggested we should do a survey of the residents and get, once we have an idea of how much this might cost per month, let the residents know. They seem generally supportive of giving additional area for the water tank that would be required. I also threw out there that they may want to just kind of, the water and sewer plant is in the like lower corner of their property, and I had suggested they may just want to give us a larger area in general so that if there are other future upgrades that we need to do, we don't have to keep going back and forth.
Like we had to run the effluent line, the new effluent line down. We had
to take more land. Exactly. So they seemed open to that concept. With regard to finance, the treasurer and I have not sat down to really take a look at the finance and kind of do some scenarios with potential fee increases. She's waiting for the audit to be complete so that we can make sure that all the expenses that need to be in those accounts are there so that we have really current numbers that we can work with. So we're hoping in the next month to have some ideas about that. With regard to grants, PennVest is a low interest loan organization for projects such as this. That's the one that would have like roughly a 1% interest rate for the first 5 years and then just over 2% for years 6 through 20. They sometimes also have grant funds available, depending. They do an internal analysis when they're reviewing an application to see what the per household impact would be on the debt. And if it's a high ratio, they'll try to find additional funding to bring it down. But we can't apply for that program until we have design of the project. So, but we are, it is a project that qualifies for the funding, and the funding is available. So, there are two other grant programs that I looked into, and currently they don't have any funding, and the state is waiting to see if they get more funding for those programs. If so, we can apply and try to get some additional grant funding for the project. And finally, I've reached out to Spot Stevens and McCoy, who prepared the study, and another company called NTech to get proposals for design, how much it would cost to design the project to the point where we could apply for PennVest. So that's pretty much all I have at this point.
Good job. Any comments? Any comments? Okay. Thank you, Drew. All right, we're going to move into new business. Frederick Living special event, October 7th, 2023. Request for fire police and waiver from event fee.
So Frederick Living is going to be doing a community event on October 7th from 10 to 2. And the event is benefiting nonprofits. And so they are asking for a waiver from the event fee and then also fire police.
And this is something they do every year.
Yeah.
Not something new.
No, it's a nonprofit event. It's
correct.
Raising money.
It's raising money for nonprofit organizations.
I have no problem with waiving the fee.
Any comments?
What is the fee?
$75.
Yeah. Any other comments? I'll make a motion to authorize the fire police to provide traffic service and to waive the special event fee for the Frederick Living event on October 7th, 2023. Do I have a second?
I'll second the motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Annual ride, ataxia, charity ride, charity bike ride, requesting for waiver of event fee.
So this is another nonprofit group that's doing an event that's to benefit Frederick's Ataxia Research Alliance. The event will be October 8th, and they are requesting, as you said, a waiver from the event fee. So this ride actually starts at Montgomery County Community College and goes through several townships. It comes up Nyfer and then Perkiom and then
Little Bit Nyfer.
Yeah, and moves out.
The one's a 50-mile.
Yeah, I think there's a 25-mile and a 50-mile.
I wonder if
Yeah,
that's good. That's 50.
Yeah. That's a long ride.
That's a long
ride. Any comments?
No. There's multiple routes also.
Yes.
But he's interested. There's a 1 mile route, a 25 mile route, and a half a mile route.
They got a quarter mile for me?
Yeah. I have a bike route also.
There you go. Any comments?
Are those routes posted on the website?
Not yet, but I can get them posted. I can, yeah.
You're going to be interested.
I can show you them tonight, too, if you want to see them after the meeting.
Are they going to use the Kirkham and Trail at all?
No.
I don't think so.
It looks like it's all on the roads.
It's all on the roads.
Yeah.
FYI, a taxi means impaired coordination. It's impaired down coordination. Damage to the brain, nerves, and muscles.
Okay, I'll make a motion to authorize the township manager to waive the special event fee for the ride, Ataxia charity bike ride. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay.
And that was $75 also.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. Approval purchase of dissolved oxygen meter for Perkiomen and Crossing sewer plant.
Right, so we have a very old, they're usually referred to as DO meters, dissolved oxygen meters, that has not been working for a while, so our plant operator has been testing the sewage tanks basically kind of by hand. He sticks a probe in there to find out what the dissolved oxygen level is and then adjusts different aspects of it to get optimum levels. So he would like to replace the old dissolved oxygen meter with a new one. It would have a permanent probe in each of the two tanks so that he can monitor it. My understanding, doing some research, is with the continuous monitoring, there can be a significant savings in electricity, for one thing, because they can keep it running much more efficiently and they don't have to run additional. One website that I found said that sometimes the electricity can be dropped by 45% to 75%, and we do have pretty big electric bills down there. So, you know, I can't promise that, but it certainly would help him to stay on top of it and make sure everything's running as well as possible. So the amount, the cost, it's a CoStars item, which means that it doesn't have to go out to bid. It's within a purchasing program that we can use. The amount for the dissolved oxygen meter with the two probes is $18,338.82. So we do have, under capital purchases, $52,000 in the budget. This was not anticipated in the budget, but it is something important. And to date, we have not made any other capital purchases.
Do we foresee any more capital purchases?
We do. So right now in the budget, we have, we're going to power wash one of the effluent tanks to see the quality of the walls. And if they are starting to deteriorate, we're going to have to paint that. And that could be a $30,000 to $40,000 project. We also are getting a cost estimate for a filter that has media in it. It's kind of like the last phase in the treatment process. And right now, a lot of times when we have high flows, the media content in that filter gets pushed out from the force of the flow. So we're getting a proposal to construct one that's bigger and can hold more media and has more capacity. So we don't know how much that's going to be yet, but we're in the process of getting a cost estimate for that.
Any questions?
The unit that they want to purchase,
mm-hmm.
is that middle of the road, much better, and it'll last for a much longer time? Or?
Well, I think the one that they had actually lasted like 20, some years, and I think this is the new version of that, if I understand correctly. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can look into it more if you want to wait, and I can find out more.
I mean, if you looked into it and you think it, you know, from what you're this hearing, is, it sounds like it's a
yeah. This is the item that the operator specifically spec'd out and called for, and he actually went to this manufacturer first and then sent them to me.
Sure. With the cost of that, I don't have a problem with that, but I do have a question. So the potential capital.
Mm-hmm.
Expenditures that are going to be coming up, other than what you mentioned, there's really nothing else that you can see.
Well, not at this point for the sewer. Knock on wood, right? Now, our sewer, Ron, you might remember from budget time, our sewer is running in the negative right now. We have a reserve of $66,000 mm-hmm. that we may have to tap into if we have to push into that. So we're trying to push it out. During budget season, we had talked about whether or not we were going to combine the water and sewer accounts, because our water account has substantial reserves, whereas our sewer account does not. And our sewer account is paying $80,000 a year for another 5 years for debt from 15 years ago. So we are going to have a bigger conversation probably in July about how we want to handle our reserves, because the sewer plant, we haven't raised monthly fees in Perky Human Crossing in 12 years. I think it is 11 or 12 years. And just the year after year cost increases is finally seeming to kind of hit that account particularly hard. So we are going to have kind of a bigger conversation in a month or two about an approach you guys want to take. Our treasurer did talk to the auditor who was here last week about whether or not we should merge the water and sewer account versus keeping them separate, and then maybe just shifting some of the reserve from one to the other, but still keeping them separate. So I'm still waiting to hear a recommendation on that. So I don't know if that totally answers your question. At this point, you know, we're still within budget, but we're expecting it to be pretty tight by the end of the year.
Sure. When would this be in place?
The dissolved oxygen meter. Well, I think it's going to be a while to have it shipped, and then they have to find a special. Miller has somebody who can install it, so it would probably still be 2, 3, 4 months.
Okay.
How long has it been non-operational?
I think several months.
Well, it's a piece. It's operational,
yeah, it's operational, but it's not operating.
Not operating
properly, I guess.
So it's making his job harder and costing more.
Yeah, so he's having to do the testing manually.
And you've seen an increase in electrical bills from this not working?
We don't know, but we're hoping that by having a meter that efficiently measures the dissolved oxygen in the sewage tanks that we might be able to improve our energy use. But again, we're not positive. It sounds like these can help with that.
I'm fine, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, where are we?
Top of the page.
Yeah, top. All right, I make a motion to authorize the township manager to purchase the Hosh. Dissolved oxygen meter for $18,338.82 through the CoStar purchasing program. Do I have a second?
I second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion approved. All right. Your EV charger update.
So last year we had talked about the possibility of installing an EV charger in the parking lot. One station with two charging nozzles. I don't think that's the right term.
Charging courts.
Courts.
Let's do that.
So last year when we had talked about it, there was a PICO grant to help offset the cost of making a site ready. Okay, so that would be running the electricity and basically establishing a pedestal for the station to go onto. We applied for the grant, and the funding was gone. But then a few months later, they came back and they said, oh, we have new funding, so you're now approved for up to 50% of the cost of prepping the site, up to, I think, $4,000 for a two-port station. The limiter there is the station has to be installed and up and running by September 9th of 2023. So we've got 3 months if we want to take advantage of this. So I have gone to ChargePoint, which is a pretty reputable company. They've given me two options. So one option is that we can do what's called a subscription, a five-year subscription, for the cost of $2,400 a year. And they will install it, they will take care of the software, and they will take care of any maintenance issues that are associated with it. The revenue generated is broken down where 90% goes to the township and 10% goes to ChargePoint. The other alternative is we could buy the station and then just subscribe to maintenance and software through ChargePoint with the same split of 90%, 10%. I talked to the treasurer. The cost is not that much different. The difference is we would have to put out about $12,000 upfront for the cost of the station with the two ports, plus the installation, plus the running of everything. So the price isn't all that much different, one versus the other. I talked to the treasurer about her thoughts on it. And from a financial standpoint, she liked the idea of the subscription because then we're just having a $2,400, you know, hit each year instead of a big hit this year. Once, you know, if you guys want to keep moving forward with this, we can. And then we would have to later have a discussion as to, you know, whether or not you want to charge for it and how much you want to charge for it to try to recoup that $2,400 a year. Okay? So does that make sense?
It does. Okay. If we go with the subscription, after the 5 years, what happens?
So then the charger is theirs, is ChargePoint's, and I think at that point we can either renew it and continue, we could get a new charger and do a new subscription, or we could buy a charger if we decide we want to do that. So it looks like the options are open.
September 9th, you said?
September 9th, yes.
Is there enough time to build it if we
build
it and approve it at some point?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, they've got these chargers available in stock, so I mean it's pretty straightforward. We just, you know, I'll have an estimate next week from the electrician to run the line out. Our guys will dig the trench. The idea was that we would put it in this parking lot closest to the building, but at the far end, away from the building. We have an electrical line that comes out from the building and goes over to the pavilion, so they would just do a stub off of that.
Does anybody here in the audience have an electric vehicle or know anybody in it? You do?
There's actually quite a few of them in the coffee now.
I do, and I got a charger installed in my garage.
Do we anticipate we'll use this?
Yeah, who's the benefit of this?
I mean, we're putting money up front, and then who's going to use it? And even if we charge for them, who's going to use it?
I will.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Now we know. But I don't think I'll be using it $2,400 per year.
Right.
Of course. But so, you know, when we first started looking at this, right now, the way the charging network is, a lot of the public chargers, so this is a level 2 charger, so it charges about 30 to 40 miles in an hour.
Correct.
Yeah. So, so typically right now, the chargers are along the major corridors, so they're along 422 and the interstates, they're close by. Up in this area, when we started this project, there weren't any anywhere near. Now, New Hanover, I think, is installing 2 stations up the road. So, you know, we started talking about this before they had moved in that direction. I think the idea is, so when I'm driving my electric car, if I'm running low, I look for destinations where I'm okay to spend an hour or so to get, you know, the extra charge that I might need to get where I'm going. So the idea is a park is kind of a nice place. You might go, take your kids, let your car charge, you know, walk the trails or whatever. According to the guy from ChargePoint, he seems to think that it will get used enough by people once they find it on the map and see that it's here.
So New Hanover's getting used?
I think, I don't know if it's up and running yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think it's with their new building, and I'm not sure if it's all
is
set
it a charge
to go. I don't know.
It's not up and running.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can certainly look into it more.
There's one over here at the Walmart, the Giant down there on 63, and it's free. And if I happen to be going by a Giant, even if it's for 10 minutes and there's an open spot, I plug it in. Mm-hmm. What the heck? Why not?
Yeah. Right.
But I never have a range issue, ever, because I plug it in at home, even if only for a few hours, I'm good for several days. So.
Yeah.
It's not necessary to me that you have one in the township building. I'm not sure how it might positively benefit the township.
Unless it was revenue generating.
Yeah.
Right.
That would be the...
Or at least break even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's like you can go
Tom, what's your battery at right now?
Right now, it's like about 210, and the max is about 260. It's a Chevy HUV. Uh-huh. I plug it in maybe one night every 3 or 4. I'm retired. I just retired, though, and I don't drive quite as much as I used to, but even when I was driving, I've taken my wife down to Wilmington and back on one charge. I've never had to charge in a public spot, ever. So, yeah. So, but if it would increase participation, you know, in our facilities, maybe that's a good thing.
I think the trend is that people are moving towards these because of more EVs, right? More emergency, electric vehicles.
Yeah.
I don't want to be behind the times, and Upper Frederick is behind the times. If it was going to offset costs and maybe produce a little bit, then.
We could certainly set the rate in such a way that we would try to recoup the costs. I was looking at our PICO bills and trying to get a sense of, you know, our electric, the township pays just over 9 cents a kilowatt for our electric. The charger that we've looked at, it generates 7.2 kilowatts per hour. So, if someone's charging there for an hour, it would cost 65 cents for the electric, okay? So we would probably want to charge maybe double that to recoup, you know, the electric cost plus make some money off of it to try to, you know, make money. So, I mean, in the beginning, we may not be making money. We might, you know, it's an unknown, you know, it's a question of, you know, like you said, do you want to put one in to sort of encourage people, you know, if maybe to stop in and use the park, if they're needing a place to charge? My situation is a little different because I don't have a home charger, so I'm always charging only in public locations.
I think we got it now.
Well, she's in there. That's that would. certainly be a benefit to me, but...
Do you pay most of the time? Like, I'm thinking about, so do you pay most places you go?
Yeah.
And the rates vary?
They vary, that's right. So for instance, here, I was calculating if my battery in my car is a 65 kilowatt, and assuming it was totally dead, it would take about 9 hours to charge it, and the electric cost at the township rate would be $5.87 for me to fully charge it. So, you know, even if the township charged like $10 or $12, you know, from my standpoint, it gets me close to 300 miles from a full charge, and, you know, paying $10 or $12 is better than $50 for a tank of gas in my other car, right? So again, you know, more people are going to EVs, you know. I'm okay if you don't, because I have my spots that, you know, I go to.
$2,400 a year, even if the subscription fee is $2,400 a year. I don't know, if that was full all day, right? If it was $12.
An hour. No, that would be an hour.
Oh, $12 to charge it for an hour.
No,
you're right. For 9 hours.
Nine hours.
Yeah.
It was $12.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's $60.
Well, times two. So there's two ports.
Two. So 24 times.
Right.
I don't want to see the township being behind, but then I guess on the other end, if somebody's I'm looking at the bad end. So somebody's pulled in there, you're walking the trails or something, somebody comes in, disconnects or plugs in. So, you know, I guess how's that done? You know, probably in the beginning it won't be, but if somebody's desperate for a charge or so, and then if this prescription, if there's vandalism, somebody forgets to unplug or whatever, planned obsolescence with it. So I think to all that there.
I think that's why the subscription's nice, because if there's any problem with it, we just call them and they have to take care
of it.
But
that's got to be in writing.
Yeah, no, sure, sure.
There's always that little...
The subscription, we're hands off the charger. Yes. We don't do anything with the charger except
for
post the location. Right.
Somebody can come and steal it. They have to put another one back.
Right.
So, what was it, 2 months ago or so, we approved going to the state website, web generator for the website here, right?
Yeah, for a piece.
What did we save on that?
Like $3,000 or something like that.
All right. I just have one other question, and if we could, you're going to look into it, I would suspect, mm-hmm. right? If we could, because it seems like the dog park gets a lot more people. Yes. Is there a way to have electric there and put a charging station there? Because I think there's a lot more people.
We need a shuttle to get Tracy back and forth.
I'll spike.
A bike.
I'm good.
Just one more. The use would be a lot better at the dog park.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point.
Because I think there's volume is down at the dog park.
Right.
People have more UV would be down there than to come here and sit under or walk around the trail. Right. It's already a popular place for people.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about over by Green Lane Park then? Because that gets a lot more traffic.
That's true. Although we don't have property up there.
Oh, okay.
You will see chargers in Green Lane Park soon.
But you're already having problems at the dog park with vandalism, so why would you put something there to create more people to go there?
Because we wouldn't pay for it. It's under contract.
It's creating more people from more vandalism. Now feeling like you're robbing people.
You can charge whatever you want, right? I mean, at a certain point, people choose to go somewhere else,
right.
I suppose. I'd be curious to see what New Hanover's going to do. I know some places just offer it for free, but so I can check on New Hanover, see what their plan is for theirs.
I was just trying to figure. It looks like if I calculated it right, it's like 5 hours a day to break even at $2,400, using $12 for 9 hours.
Okay.
Dog
so
an hour.
That's not terrible.
So what's the most remote place around here that you've gone to, like on your radar? I can't believe there's one here.
Around here, nowhere. I can't find anything around here.
So between here and your home?
Yeah, no, there, I have to wait to get to Phoenixville, and then I just use the chargers in Phoenixville.
So that's a good thing.
Because
if there isn't one out here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly.
You can be able to even know.
Well, and that's kind of what we looked at when we first started this conversation last year, was we looked at the map of where the EV's chargers were, and there were none anywhere nearby. And so that's like, that was when we were like, well, maybe it does make sense, beyond just me, right, and my needs. You know, but since then, like I said, New Hanover has, or is about to add a couple. But, I mean, so the 5 hours a day is not necessarily unreasonable, because, like, if you think about Perkiomen Crossing, it's possible, you know, that maybe it doesn't work for people to do a home charger, but they're interested in a
they're actually not. They're running extension cords out.
They are?
Yes. There are 6 or 7 electric vehicles. They run extension cords out.
So what I've seen in Phoenixville that people do is, like, if they have one electric car and one non-electric car, a couple will drive both cars down to the chargers, plug in the electric, and then hop in the other car and go home and leave it overnight, and then come back in the morning. And then it's good to go for a week sometimes, depending on how much you drive. So I could easily see, if it was a reasonable rate, if people in Perk Crossing are starting to get EV cars, they might do that, right? Drive up their car, plug it in for the night, and then morning time they have a fully charged car.
What's the price in Phoenixville, that particular one you're talking about?
Phoenixville's kind of expensive, but we have a pass program, so it's like $150 a year. But it's a hit or miss there, and their chargers aren't great. So to the question, like, you know, where do I go? I actually go to the outlets, because they have a level 3 charger, and I can fully charge in 45 minutes. And I shop.
Right. So I would say a couple things. One is the dog park. I know there's
concern
about vandalism. Do you live down that way?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you? Colonial Road.
Okay.
On Colonial Road.
So, is nightmare.
Okay. Yeah, they go flying down that road.
What do you think?
People fuss pots now using that dog park.
Yeah.
By following from Home Depot already. Right to the dog park.
Okay. All right.
So maybe that would be on like a tertiary type.
Yeah, I can look and see. I'm not sure we have electric there, but I know there's a pole, but I don't know that there's electric. So
and
we'll check.
So if they do a level 3 charger that you're talking about, where you could do a lot more in a shorter amount of time.
Yeah, those are super expensive.
I don't know.
But, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
But obviously you would.
Sure, Tom. Sounds great.
No, you increase the cost over an hour, right? That you would pay for 6 hours.
Right.
And plus the benefit of having a rapid charger too.
Yeah, I mean there's
But it's something to look into.
Okay.
I'm not sure that they have electric bill in the dog park because they have solar lights there.
Right. That's what I'm thinking too. I know we have the one pole, but I don't think we have electric.
Two.
No, but there's like there's a power pole by the kiosk, but I don't think it has power on it anymore. I'll double check. But you're right, the parking lot lights are solar. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. We have more work to do.
Yeah, we'll look into it.
Thank you.
Sure.
So it just seemed like if somebody wanted to park overnight, like you were suggesting, this mm-hmm. would be a safer location.
I kind of feel that way too.
Not that I feel like these beaten paths are unsafe, but some people might feel uncomfortable hanging out in a park in the dark, waiting for their car.
Because it's very dark
here,
down there.
It just seems a little more safe.
Well, and that's a good point. It's less remote here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I don't know that we'd want to encourage cars staying overnight
and
down at the dog park.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well,
they
have signs.
They do have lights.
What's that?
They have signs.
Yes.
They're parking after dusk or whatever.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
They'd have to come down.
So I'll look into some of these things.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Yeah.
All right. Comcast franchise renewal.
Okay.
Discussion.
Yeah, so it's time to start renewing our Comcast franchise. We currently receive 5% of revenues generated by Comcast on a quarterly basis. It works out over the course of a year to be about $60,000 to $70,000 that the township gets from the franchise fees. We're charging 5%, which is my understanding is that's the maximum you're allowed to charge. I did reach out to some other municipalities just to kind of get an idea of you know, what their percentages are and kind of what they do. Some do 3%, some do 5%. Lower Frederick actually just passed, they just renewed their franchise agreement with Comcast, and they sent a copy over to me. And it's a lot more robust than the template that Comcast sent me recently. So I pulled out our current franchise agreement, which is almost 12 years old. So it was a contract for 12 years. One thing that we did get from Comcast at the beginning of that agreement was a $4,500 payment up front to kind of help with, I guess, any sort of upgrades that the township needed help with or something. I don't know. So I'm scheduled to have a call with Comcast on Monday, and I'm going to ask them about this upfront payment and if it's something we can get again. And I'm also going to ask them about the possibility of the government channel, where the meetings could be televised on a dedicated channel. So I hope to have an update on that conversation for you guys next week. But if there's any other questions you would like me to ask while I'm having that call on Monday, I'm happy to.
Well, 12-year agreement is way too long for me.
Okay, so I'll see if we can shorten that.
I know on other municipalities, any of the township buildings, they mandate that they have to have wires run to all the buildings.
And I think we have that.
We have.
That's in our current language, and I think they have a line downstairs.
Okay.
Yeah.
But how about for the remodeling, the construction that might take place over here?
So we could have, we could make sure that it's run.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So.
Yep. So we can make sure there's a line run to that.
Yes, Frank
Dorsey. This is just for the township, this agreement, or
yes.
It's not for having where they run that to your house and stuff. It's just for...
It's a franchise to let them run Comcast within the boundaries of the township.
Right, and typically there's language in there
something like that
requires them to run their cable connection to any house within a certain distance of a road. I can look into that and find out. But there is some language about that as well.
I just didn't, because I thought it might be for like that, but it seems like it's kind of more for the town. But then you got Windstream and all these other ones running up and down that they just ran a haul, I guess back in the fall or so.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of whose box is out here in front of the township.
It's Windstream.
Windstream, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm not sure that we have an agreement with them. I can look into that. I haven't seen it. And it may be because that's phone, right? Windstream?
Windstream does everything.
It's everything.
Oh, they do everything now.
They do everything now.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll look into that then.
I think they're now Kinetic, aren't they?
Yes.
They started out as Constoga.
Yes.
And how long I've been here.
And they only offered it in certain parts of the township. It wasn't through the whole township.
Right. Yeah.
It was in Obelis, I think. I think they just had Obelis.
I think so. It was Constoga, then it was Windstream. Now, that's Windstream. That's your property, right? Where that box sits?
It is, yeah.
So they pay you?
Well, they have some sort of easement. I'll look in to see what kind of agreements
no,
we have.
No,
well, I think the board wants to know anyway, so.
But sometimes, the pain in the ass, residents and all, but
No names.
You can, because whatever that is, it's, you'll know it. It's climate control or it's climate something. And you can hear this fan sometimes in the fall or the spring running it all. So.
I know the last time we had a call for that, it was impossible to get in touch with them, too.
Yeah, they're hard to reach.
Yeah. The alarm was going off, and, like, what do we do? And
I had the pole fell down, and nobody wanted to talk. I tell you, I wanted to go through that phone line. And
yeah, we need to make sure we have a contact for them.
Well, you've tried, right, to contact them?
The stream gets in.
About the poles, right?
If they come in through the town.
Steve did. They're difficult to
contract with the township.
What's that?
I'm trying to figure out how Windstream comes in. If they start out as telephone, this way they don't have to contract with the county.
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering too. So that's why I'm going to look into it more and see.
Whereas Comcast is straight
cable.
Mm-hmm. Even though they offer phone. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to look into it.
Yeah. So Windstream, if they want to participate in the township, should also be running something like Comcast.
It does seem like it. I agree.
Unless they have some other.
Any other comments? Okay. All right. Shade structure and playground equipment update.
Okay. So as we've discussed in the past, we have grant funds that we've obtained at Spielhofer Park Dog Park. We had a grant that is coming to an end this year, and we still have about $12,000 of the grant funds to use. And so our plan is to install two shade structures. One is a two-post shade structure that'll be just inside the two big fields, straddling the center fence, so it'll be partially on each side, so that way if one side's closed and the other's open, there's still some shade. The Parks Board originally wanted to put these shade structures further out in the fields, but one of the requirements of the grant application is they have to be ADA accessible. And so by the time we tried to do a trail out to them, it was just a little too expensive. So we're going to have them placed in such a way that a portion of them extends over the concrete entry area, so that because that is ADA accessible, so somebody could, with a wheelchair, come in and be under the shade, but then it'll extend out. So the two posts will go in the two large fields, and then a single post will go in the small field. Similar idea, just out from the concrete pad enough to give shade there for someone in a wheelchair, but it'll be set up near the fence so that it partially hangs over the upper big field and the small field to kind of maximize the opportunity. So the Parks Board chose those two types of structures. They want brown poles and beige canvas. So that's what they chose for there to kind of keep it sort of not too crazy.
Low-key.
And cut low-key, thank you. And then we recently were awarded a $67,000 grant for new playground equipment out here in the playground. And so I've included a photo of the first play structure that they wanted. People want to look at it. Pass it. People want to pass it around.
It's not the purple one.
What's up?
It's not the purple one.
So this play structure is about $48,000 by the time you factor in shipping and installation. The plan is to bump the current playground area out towards the big field about 30 feet so that we can install this. And we should have about another $20,000 to do some sort of climbing structure, but the Parks Board hasn't decided what they'd like that to be yet. So.
The second grant expires when?
So we're keeping the old.
So we're gonna. The Parks Board went out and looked at the old playground structure, and it's getting tired, but it's still pretty usable. So we're gonna go ahead and keep it for now.
You have used it.
During the day. Yeah, and so what they decided is, so this play structure in the photo is for ages 2 to 5, and that seems to be who we're seeing here during the day, is people with their younger kids who aren't in school yet. The climbing structure that they want to add is going to be for 5 to 12-year-olds, so that, you know, like after school, when the families come with the little kids and the older kids will have a little something to do too. So that's their strategy.
When's the last time the playground equipment's been inspected?
Last year, I think.
Did they give you an estimated life span on the equipment?
No, we had to replace the swing seats. And duct tape. The issue was with the structure out there now is it's so old that we can't get replacement parts, right? So it's safe, but like on one of the lower steps, the coating on the step is kind of wearing off, so we duct taped it. So it's not beautiful, but it's safe and it's fine. So that's why the Parks Board thought we could still, you know, keep it for now until it's not safe, I guess.
Okay. The $60,000 grant you said?
67.
67?
Yes. Yeah.
When does that have to be expended?
We just were awarded it, so I think we have a couple years. But the lead time, so this play structure is on sale, so we have to order it like in the next month if we, you know, want to take advantage of it. It was like $13,000 off, I guess it's, you know, it's last year's model or something. So the Parks Board thought that it was best to go with that. They thought that was a good structure, kind of gets the biggest bang for the dollar sort of thing. So, and then the lead time for these play structures, I think, is like 16 to 18 weeks. So it wouldn't be done until mid-fall, probably, best case scenario.
Would adding a climbing structure for the older kids change anything about the insurance you have to hold on the program?
I don't know. I can double check. I mean, the insurance is going to go up a bit just because we're adding additional equipment. I think the biggest issue is just making sure that we keep our buffer zones between the pieces of equipment, which we're not supposed to overlap. So we're going to double check all the buffers with the swings and make sure that, you know, we have enough space between that buffer zone and then the new one for this equipment.
Any other questions?
The underlayment, Tracy.
It's gonna be wood chips, which is what we have out there now.
Playground mulch.
Playground mulch. Thank you.
It's not wood chips.
You're right.
Playground mulch.
It looks like wood chips.
It does. But you don't get splinters. But you don't get splinters from it.
There you go. Yes. And our public works guys will do the filling in for the expansion, and we may be talking to the Parks Board about some fencing other than split rail. It's in sad shape and it really doesn't contain those little kids. And it just falls apart all the time. What's that? It
sucks.
Yeah. So we may come back with some ideas for other fencing.
Yeah. I think that's a great idea.
Good.
Okay. Any other comments? Okay. Audio tape policy.
Okay. Well, there's been issues in the past about what we should do about taping, so we stopped taping until tonight, and so we're looking for some direction from you guys for your audio tape policy.
I'm all for audio tapes.
Okay.
And possibly putting them up on the website within like 7 days of the meeting.
Okay.
Not sure how you feel.
Same way. I would say five business days. I don't know what the workload would be for you to get that on there.
Yeah, I think that's fine.
Mm-hmm. Is it doable with the web host?
Yeah, the audio is a lot easier to get up. After the hydrant study, we were playing with trying to get the video up versus the audio, and we were just failing with the video. We're just not set up for it, but the audio went up fine. So we can do audio on the website.
Okay. Yeah, I think Tracy's talking about just audio and not video. Is that correct?
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
We are actually looking into video of the meetings. We're trying to incorporate that when we do the new meeting room.
Yeah, I have a comment on that too. I do some consulting, and we have very large public meetings with business leaders, and there's been some extremely disruptive things going on in that area with artificial intelligence applications that can create videos of people saying things that they didn't say, and they are incredibly realistic. And I could send you links. And so this is being reevaluated, and people have been instructed to behave with a great deal of caution, and the reevaluation is not going on among engineers or managers. It's going on in legal departments is what's going on, and they've got a long time before they settle this. And I think it's something we should be cautious about, putting a lot of videotape of our supervisors speaking.
I 100% agree with them.
Have you heard anything about just audio recordings? Has there been?
No.
Okay.
No. And I have less of an issue with that.
Okay. All right. Great.
That artificial intelligence is just getting way too
smart.
too advanced and too technical.
Too intelligent.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, they would actually have to take it off the website, redub it. They couldn't put it on our website. They would have to be on another website. Right. I mean, our original version would always stay intact, even no matter what they dub. It's not going to be on our website. So, I mean, I do understand your concerns. Yes.
Yeah.
Well, they have to hack it. Then they would have to hack into the system and do it that way.
I've had my bank account hacked into it. Well, but no, I think, video, that's a good thing with AI.
Yeah. You just take a video of you.
Yeah.
Remove the background. Mm-hmm. Then
I can do that with this.
Exactly. You can do more. Change what you're saying. Then put you against a different background and say, this is what he said at the firehouse meeting the other day, or at a parent teacher's night, or anything. Mm-hmm. And,
I'm not saying
audio tape. I think the audio tape.
Yeah.
We
agree on that.
Front.
Sounds good. You want to do a motion?
Well, I'll have to wait for see if I
had
any more comments.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, please.
The car's still charging. Relax.
Oh, you're hilarious.
I didn't see it out there, so I'm guessing it's charging.
It's with my stepdaughter.
Oh, you brought the gas vehicle.
Yes.
Oh, she's not being environmentally friendly to.
Correct.
All right.
That's right.
Any more comments?
I'll make one.
Yes.
So I appreciate that. I think it's awesome posting the video. The audio I think is great. The only suggestion I have is for Tom for you to speak a little louder so that it comes across on the audio. You are very soft.
You can hear everything.
It comes across. Well, if you can, I have a very loud voice.
We'll get him a microphone.
No, you don't need that.
No, he sits up front. Yeah. I know, with Mark recording, sometimes I have trouble hearing what people are saying. So if it's up front, I think it'll pick it up more clearly. But I do think Tom.
Well, feel free to tell me to. I will project louder for you.
So we'll. We'll wait for your motion, obviously. But I'll just point out that we were slow getting the tape recorder going tonight, so we missed the first few minutes. Just we didn't intentionally cut Frank out of the audio.
That's a start, right?
Can't we artificially tell him his commentary?
And that's also a point that you're making. When you do have public comment, it's probably important to have people really state it.
Name and address.
Name.
Yes.
Yeah, well, so for public comment, people should be coming up to the podium, name, where they live and address. So that's what we'll
do. We'll see.
I'd be surprised what this picks up. And there's also an attachment to it that we can we would normally have on the center of the table that gets a lot further.
Yeah.
So you can definitely, most likely, hear everybody. But.
We'll adjust it as we need it.
But it's easy to, when you have a small group, if you know everybody, to not make them introduce themselves. But I do think if people are listening to it and don't normally have access to it, it would be important to state your name.
Yeah.
Every time.
But we'll just make the quorum. It'll be
everybody will know Frank.
Comments.
Yeah.
Right. So true.
Any other comments? I make a motion that we videotape our supervisor. I make a motion we audio tape our supervisor meetings and have it posted.
Just supervisors, right?
Yes.
For the posting.
Yes.
Okay.
Audio tape our supervisor's meeting and have it posted up on the website within
five business days.
You gotta speak louder.
Five business days.
Thank you. So I have a second.
Can you read that back if you have it written down?
I made it really simple.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure.
I didn't really write the whole thing down, but motion to use audio tape to record the BOS meetings and post within five business days.
Okay. I'll second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Manager's update.
For next week's agenda, our plan is to have resolution 2023-06, designation of chief administrative officer for the pension, on your agenda again. Give that a try. We may be looking at some more certificates of deposit reinvesting, although because we're in the middle of the audit, we might push that out to July. We'll probably have the EV charger back on your agenda. And then potentially the request for authorization to purchase the play structure and the shades for the Spielhofer Park. I'll come back to you with more information about the franchise that we talked about, give you an update on the call that I'm going to have with them. And we may have before you some proposals for architects to do construction plans for a schoolhouse. I'm trying to get three proposals for you guys to consider.
At least one is historical?
Two, at least, are historical.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and the one that I was communicating with today, I asked them to send me some samples of projects they've done with historic buildings with additions.
Nice.
Okay. That's probably about it.
When are the proposals due for Perk Crossing for the water? Because you said that you were going to put out proposals, or that you already did put out proposals for it.
So the two firms that I've talked to, I've asked for them by the end of June. But I'm hoping to maybe ask. So I'm hoping to find some more engineering firms that might be qualified to give us proposals. So I'm going to be talking to our environmental engineer next week to see if he has any other suggestions.
Okay.
So hopefully it'll be on the agenda in July.
Any other public comment? Okay. Upcoming meeting. Board of Supervisors regular meeting, June 8th, 2023 at 7 o'clock. Park Board meeting, June 20th, 2023 at 7 o'clock, and Planning Commission meeting, June 29th, 2023 at 7 o'clock. On that note, could I make a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you for coming out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have you had any more?